Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. I want to make you aware that Wednesday night, I know we're in the middle of a quarter, but one of our classes Wednesday night is concluding the class on marriage, and we are starting a parenting class that will run from now till the end of this quarter on Wednesday nights. And so we will have Lindell's class that will continue through the quarter as normal, and then a parenting class that we're starting. We will have a different man from our congregation, different older man. Sorry, Keith. Keith's going to teach it this Wednesday night. Different ones of our older men are going to lead this class on parenting. And we'll look at scripture and we'll draw on experiences and older teach younger and we'll learn about parenting. And so I want to encourage you to make time for that and be able to come Wednesday night for that. Earthly value versus eternal value. This lesson today, I want to, a note before we even get started. I haven't always understood what I'm going to share with you today. I haven't always understood today's lesson. I haven't always, I don't know why it's taken me 43 years to get certain things, but this is one of those. And so I say that before we even get started. But Luke chapter 2, verse 41, this is where Jesus' parents, they go to Jerusalem for the Passover, and Jesus is about 12. Now, 12 being just in your mind, you think of a young teenager. We'll bump Jesus up because our 12-year-olds round themselves up anyway. Jesus is a young teenager, and so they go to Jerusalem for the Passover, and they leave after it's over, and they go and they travel a day, and typically they would travel that first day and stop for the night, and they realize Jesus isn't with them. And they go back, and mom and dad are in a panic. Joseph and Mary can't find Jesus. And they go back and they look for him. And they finally find him in the temple courts. And he's sitting with the teachers there and he's listening and he's asking questions. And when his parents find him, they scold him. You remember this? They scold him. They were astonished and they said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why," Jesus says, "were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" King James Version says, "Didn't you know I must be about my father's business?" At the age of 12, Jesus was focused on eternal things. And his parents, in this moment, they're focused on earthly things. And there's a miscommunication. I want to share a friend of mine that I went to college with and graduated college together. If I told you that when he was 23, he owned his own business. When he was 35, he became a millionaire. He's now 44. He has a home in Malibu. He has a home in Dallas. And he has a home in Aspen. What do you think of him? I know you don't know him, but I've shared a little bit with you about him. What do you think of him? How about what do you think of him compared to yourself? I mean, let's be honest. A lot of us would be okay with trading places, right? You know, sign me up for that. You have a home here and you have a home here. I mean, two vacation homes, millionaire, lots of money. Does anyone here feel sorry for this man that I'm telling you about? You know, when we hear all those things about money and riches and success, we'd love to trade places with them. But that's because our culture has programmed us to value the details that I mentioned. I didn't mention that he's had three failed marriages. I didn't mention that he worked so hard in business when his daughters were young, he wasn't there for them, and now that they're grown, they won't have anything to do with him. I didn't mention that he's also lost his faith in God and now claims to be agnostic. Our culture worships achievement, wealth, talent. And when I say talent, I mean I'm talking about sports, I'm talking about movie stars, I'm talking about musicians. Our culture values and worships talent, and our culture worships fame. If you're famous, we have reality TV shows where people are on the show just because, not because they're talented, they're interesting, right? And there's a show about them, and now they're famous, and our culture worships that. You don't even have to be good at something. It's just if you're on TV and you're famous, we're a little bit in awe of that. You may not believe me, but let's say, for instance, that one of us here, a member here, has a close friend that works in Minnesota for the Minnesota Vikings. And let's say in this scenario, for whatever reason, they're in town for the weekend. And they have with them, and in walks the door, Adrian Peterson. Now, if you don't know anything about the NFL, Adrian Peterson, of course, he played at OU. He's my favorite player in the NFL. He should have won the Heisman when he was a freshman at OU, and probably would have had he not split votes with Jason White, but that's neither here nor there. He was an All-American. He is the greatest back in the NFL right now, believed by many. And if he walked in, you may not believe me, I would not fall over myself to go meet him. Right? Now, I would like to meet him. But think about this for a minute. What does God think about Adrian Peterson? Let's say Jesus was here with me, and Keith comes up and he says, "Elliot, you're not going to believe who's here. You know, this crowd of people, I can't see. Keith, it's Adrian Peterson. Got to meet him. All right, I'll be right there. Jesus, let's go. Adrian Peterson's out there. You know who Adrian Peterson is. He plays for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, he's awesome. He's faster, he's bigger, he's stronger, he does things that nobody else can do. In football. Line of scrimmage, you watch some football. He's really good. What does God think about Adrian Peterson? The NFL star, God could care less. If God doesn't care, why do I care so much? And the answer is because our culture has programmed us to care. This person is highly talented. They're amazing. They're rich. They're famous. They're incredible. Well, they're amazing in man's eyes. 2 Peter 3:10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire." This is what's going to happen on Judgment Day. All of this stuff that we see is going to be burned up. You know, the same thing that's going to happen to my ping pong trophy from last year's men's retreat. Trophy, first place, by the way, gentlemen. The same thing that's going to happen to my ping pong trophy that's up on my shelf in my office is going to happen to every Super Bowl ring man has ever made. It's going to burn up. If something doesn't impress God, why is it so impressive to me? And the answer is because I've bought into our society's worship of these things. Our society has taught me from birth that, Elliot, this is important. This guy's famous. This guy's talented. This person is wealthy. This person is successful. We need to recalibrate. We need to divide things into two piles. One pile is temporary things. Things that are earthly. Things that might have some value, but in the end, it's going to be burned up. And the other pile is eternal things. And these are things in my life that will matter for eternity. I'm proud of my daughters. If you have children, I know you're proud of your children. When your children do well or exceed at something, we're proud of them. Liz, my oldest daughter, she competes in speech. And yesterday was the state speech competition, and she went to state in speech in a couple things. And one in particular, what's called an original oratory, she wrote herself, and then she delivers that speech. And she meddled in that yesterday. She found out early in the day that she was in the top three, and she was so excited. And I'm so proud. And then she finds out, first place medal. Well, that's a big deal. I'm proud of her for that. She's always been creative. As a parent, you're thrilled when your child excels at something. And psychologically, it's good for them. It's good for children as they grow up to find something that they're good at. It helps them. But I'm more proud that 3 years ago, she gave her life to Christ. I'm honestly more proud for the ways that she lets her light shine for Jesus. Because our medals and our trophies and our awards and our achievements, all of those are eventually going to be burned up. Sydney's in band. She's first chair of about 30 clarinet players. I counted them at the concert that we had recently. She's the first one there. I'm a proud parent. If you're a parent, you understand that. I'm more proud of her for what she did this last Monday night. You know, last week she was inducted into the National Junior Honor Society. She makes good grades. I'm proud of her for that. I'm more proud that Monday night Jessica was working with the young people for LTC. And this weekend we'll go to LTC. Because those are eternal things. I'm more proud when she lets her light shine. Abby, I'm proud of her. She's smart. She's a really good reader. She reads on a higher grade level, a few grades higher than the grade she's in. I'm proud of her for that. I'm more proud that she loves our family devotionals. And she will remind us and ask, when are we doing our family devotional? 1 Timothy 4:8 says, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Earthly things, some value. There's some value in that. Okay? Eternal things, that's eternal value. And Scripture tells us that a lot of the things that we chase after, there's some value in that. But not ultimate value. Because ultimate value is in eternal things. I've seen young people be involved in activities. And when the activity conflicted with church, they missed some of the activity. And they and their family were at church. And that kid eventually became disinterested in their activity. I've seen other kids where they were involved in activities, and when it conflicted with church, they were at the activity and they missed church some. They eventually became disinterested in church. The first one is now a deacon and faithful and active in the Lord's church. And the second one is not in church at all. I'm not trying to be legalistic about church attendance, all right? Please don't misunderstand me. We have to make sure our children see the difference between earthly things and eternal things. We have to make sure our children realize there are certain things in our life that are really important, and other things are of this earth and they have some value, but not vice versa. I want to give you an example. This is Etta Mae's grandchild. This is one of the twins. Now, you grandparents know the value of a picture of your grandchild. Okay? This is this grandbaby's first day in Bible class. Okay? This is in church, in Bible class, with her little Bible. At that age, I understand that you know, what is she comprehending? But if you want to know something that's important, that's important. That's eternal value. Is my kid in Bible class? That's eternal value. My kid may have made every meeting of the activity they're involved in, but are they in Bible class? Were they in Bible class this week? Because one has some value. The other has eternal value. What does God care? Now, don't stone me. Don't throw anything. Put your objects down. But let me ask this. My child wins the 2014 Eastern Oklahoma Championship in fill in the blank. What does God think? It's an activity, right? It's an activity. It might be a sport, it might be band, it might be speech. It's good. It has earthly value. It's an activity. Our society would say it's bigger than life, right? But what does God think? Does God care that my child is first chair in band? I don't think so. If my child prays, God, help me to do well on my chair tryout, I think God will. I think He will. But in the end, how much does God care about that? Some of the things that we care greatly about, they have some value, but they're earthly value. And some of the things that we forget about has eternal value. Let me give you an example. I think God cares that there are people in North Korea right now in generational starvation camps. I think God cares that there are missionaries dying every day around the world. I think He cares that in the time I've been speaking, approximately 1,600 souls have left this planet. 1,600 have left Earth in the time I've been up here and sealed their eternal fate. And biblically, most will go to hell. I think God cares about those things. I think He cares about eternal things. I think the earthly things that we become, and I'll use the word obsessed, because that describes a lot of my... I have history. I'm speaking about some things I know about because I've done it. I've been obsessed about a number of things in my life up to this point. Earthly things. Things that I love. Things that I just couldn't get enough of. How much does God care about them? Luke chapter 10, 38. You remember this occasion where Martha, she opens her home to Jesus. Jesus comes and Martha, she's in the kitchen. I picture her in the kitchen. She's getting the food ready. Well, she has a sister, Mary, and Mary's in there with Jesus. She's at Jesus' feet listening to Jesus talk. And Scripture says in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations. Martha's in the kitchen. She's trying to make this perfect meal for the Son of God. And her own sister is too lazy to get in there and help her. This is important, Mary. This is just like you, Mary. You always shirk responsibilities. You never care about what's important. And in the end, Jesus gets on to Martha. You're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. I wonder how many times is there something better, but we choose what's not better. We choose what's earthly because that's what we are so excited about. Our society values achievement. Our society values education. I don't mean Bible education. I mean high school, college, graduate school, PhD. I mean education. Our society values that. If my daughters grow up and let's say one becomes a lawyer and one becomes a surgeon and one becomes a CEO of a big company, won't I be proud? I'll be proud. But in the end, what does that mean? Well, it means they're successful. Well, in whose eyes? Well, in everybody's eyes, Elliot. Come on, man. Look what they accomplished. Well, who cares? Does God care if your child grows up to have this great job and live in this great house and take these great vacations and drive this great car and have more cars than they can fit in their garage? We're going to build on to our garage to get our extra cars in because we're so successful. I'm not saying that's wrong. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not bashing on wealth. I'm saying, is God impressed? Does He care? Is there anything in Scripture that says, listen, you need to seek wealth, because if you have more, life will be better. Life will be easier. Any scripture in the whole book, in particular the New Testament, of the age that we live under, anything that says, teach your children to do well so that they can do well monetarily in life. These are things our society values. What if my child graduates high school and gets a job and manages her money well? I'm not talking about being wasteful with our money. I'm saying living within our means, being content with what you have. And maybe my daughters live a content and a meager life. Is that less? Will I be less proud? Should I be less proud? I wonder if the poor widow who put in two mites in the temple treasury, will she be in heaven? Will the beggar Lazarus who longed to eat at the food that fell from the rich man's table, will he be in heaven? I think Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. But our society says, no, Jesus didn't get it. He didn't understand. Because if you have more stuff, it's better. That's what our society tells us. And we need to recalibrate. It's not wrong to work hard in school, and we should work with whatever we have as if we're working for God, Scripture teaches us. Do well at whatever you do. It's not wrong to work hard in school or at our activities. Whatever activity your child is involved in, do good. Practice. Do your best. That's good. But in the end, when we leave and we're driving to go eat somewhere, hey, did you play hard? Good. Did you win? No, the other team, well, were you a good sport? Maybe you'll win next time. You remember America's favorite pastime, what America's favorite pastime used to be? Baseball. America doesn't have any pastimes anymore. You know what a pastime is? A pastime is some value. It's something you do in your free time for recreation. It's a pastime would be we leave the field and you played hard, good job. What's for dinner? We don't have pastimes. We have obsessions. And my kid has to be first. And if my kid's not first, they're last. My kid has to win at whatever they do, because if they don't win, they won't be a champion. And if they're not a champion, they're not going to be successful. And if they're not successful, life's just not going to be good. You say, Elliot, you don't understand. My kid's good at whatever they play. And they're so good that they're probably going to earn a college scholarship. And they're probably going to get free college, which gets them better education, which will get them a better job someday. In fact, they're so good, they might play professional. You may not believe half of what I'm saying today, but let me share. If my youngest, for example, let's say she gets into basketball, which I love basketball, and let's say she's really good, and she earns a scholarship at OU to play point guard for Sherry Cole, who, if the university is smart, they will keep on as the head coach of the women's basketball team. Good Christian lady. I would be proud. My daughter's a point guard at OU. And let's say she's so good, she plays professional ball, the WNBA. How cool would that be? Would it matter more than if she finishes school, gets a job, and lives her life to honor God? And you say, Elliot, she can honor God in the WNBA, and that's true. That's the point, eternal things. I want my daughters to honor God whatever they do. But my society has programmed me to think that if you excel in this, educationally, competition-wise, success, fame even, if you excel in these things, it's better. And when I read my Bible, I'm not seeing it. And when I imagine talking to God about my daughter who's in the WNBA, God, come on, God, that's a big deal. And God says, why? Because she's on TV. I mean, she lives in a big house. You ought to see it. It's right down the street. I don't think God's impressed. And I'm getting to the point where it's, don't feel sorry for my children. I know somebody in here right now is praying for Elliot's children. This poor dad is not ever going to be proud of his children. I'm proud of them, but I want them to know that what's eternal is eternal. There are things that have some value in this life, and then there are eternal things. What good will it be if we gain the whole world? and lose our soul. Someone might say, well, God wants what's best for us. I believe God wants what's best for us. Now, that's a tricky one. God wants what's best for us, and to do well in life is best for us. To do well in our finances is best. If our kids get a good degree and a good job, they'll have a better life, and God wants what's best for us. The only problem with that is God's definition of best and our society's definition of best is two entirely different things. God says, be content with what you have. God says, love your neighbor. Scripture says that man looks on the outside of another to evaluate them, but God looks at the heart. I want to show you some pictures from our men's retreat. We went down to Norman. We had a men's retreat. We had a lot of fun. We did a lot of fun things, you know. But we did some ministry while we were down there too. We may not know it, but we went to a homeless shelter and did some ministry at a homeless shelter at the men's retreat. We talked to this gentleman a little bit. Well, that was Joe Richardson. We really didn't go to a homeless shelter, okay? But we did talk to Joe Richardson, and we had a cookie bar, all right? I don't know if you've ever been at a retreat where you have a cookie bar.
It was fabulous.
It was awesome, wasn't it? Thank you, brother. It was good. Some value. You know, we sat around and visited, and we talked, and we just relaxed. We retreated. And the weather was gorgeous. And that was some value. But then we had times like this around a campfire where we talked about our own walk with God and things that distract us, like things distracted Martha. And that has eternal value. We ate like kings, all right? We had full breakfast, which bacon is the highlight of mine. And then we had lunch. We cooked out for lunch. And then at the bottom, we didn't eat four meals. The bottom was the dinner, but it just took two plates. Okay? And that had some value. It was good. I mean, I liked it. I loved it. But then during breakfast, we looked out. You know, I looked out the window at breakfast time. And, you know, a picture doesn't do justice what something's like in person. But I know some of the men remember seeing the sunrise and God's creation. And to see God in that and praise God, that's eternal value. We had some games, competition. We shot our airsoft pistols. Guys were serious. Very serious. It was fun. But then we sat around and talked about God. And talked about what we need to do to finish the mission of our life. That's eternal value. We had fun playing games, horseshoes and golf and basketball and cards, and that was fun. That had some value. That's eternal value right there. When we sit around and plan for the future of God's church. It looks like Rick is testifying here. He's not. He's just being Rick. That was fun. But this is my favorite picture. We had a time during the retreat where we all went off by ourselves. And it was the last thing we did that was the really serious part. Went off by ourselves and we prayed by ourselves. And we thought about our life by ourselves. And we thought about our future and what we need to be about. We thought about God's business. We thought about kingdom business. Being about our Father's business. That's Kyle. I love that. I love that picture. You know, a man before God. That's eternal value. I remember the first OU game I ever went to. In Norman, I remember it's like in the movie Rudy, where Rudy's dad walks up into that Notre Dame stadium and those big Coke bottle glasses and his eyes tear up. And most beautiful thing he's ever, you know, these eyes have ever seen. When I first went to an OU game, I walked up in that stadium. I thought, this is just it, you know. I've been obsessed about a few things during my life. Even as recent as the past college basketball tournament, the Final Four tournament. And OU was in that, you know, the 64, grows every year. But anyway, NCAA basketball tournament. And OU should have had a chance to go far this year. And I'm a typical fan, and I really believe they could, you know. And they lost that first game. And it really frustrated me because even at that time, I'm still, this is a big deal. Man, I've been following this team all year. Everything's been leading up to this tournament. Come on, guys. And they lose that first game, and I'm bummed out. And Stephanie asked me a couple days later, isn't that basketball tournament going on? When does OU play? They've already lost. I don't want to talk about it. And I was genuinely frustrated because for all my life, I have genuinely thought that things like this are big deals. OU had a scrimmage yesterday. That's good. The red team lost, and I was really... No, I wasn't really frustrated about that. OU had a scrimmage yesterday. That's recreation. That should be pastime. I did a wedding yesterday. Otherwise, I might have been down there to watch that. I like that. I enjoy it. I want to be, and I plan to be, to where if my team wins or loses, good or not good, but it's earthly. And in the end, it doesn't matter a hill of beans. And if I stand before God and say, hey, God, how about this? He could care less about things that I have been obsessed with. And I want to encourage you to think about things in your life. We need to learn to recalibrate. We need to learn to take things, you know, we've had earthly things that our society has taught us are really, really major, and we've had those really weighted heavily, and eternal things we just kind of fit in and do what we can, and we need to change that. We need to look at eternal things as eternal. And there are a lot of earthly things that we get all worked up about and obsessed about, and they don't mean much at all. They may have some value. Honoring God, that's an eternal thing. Loving our neighbor, that's an eternal thing. If you want to work on something eternal, find someone in your life who's lost and destined for hell unless they change their life and come to Christ and find salvation. We need to be obsessed about the lost. Pastimes need to be pastimes. That's good. Do your best. Did you have fun? Did you work hard? Did you win? Did you not win? Well, all right. And eternal things need to be eternal. Bow with me. Let's pray about this. God, we come before you. We pray for your guidance. There are some times when we look at our world and we look at your word and we see things that are miles apart. I pray that you forgive me for the ways and times that I've cared so much about things that mean so little. I pray you help us to see, to be able to see what you see, what matters greatly and what matters little. And help us to treat things that way. We pray that you will guide us. We pray that you will help us as the world we live in affects how we think about everything so much. And we pray that you help us to change that, to seek your will, that we would look at things through your eyes. And when things have some value, treat it like it does. But when the things that have eternal value, God, help us to treat those the way we should. We pray for your help in all this. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a song of encouragement. And there may be something heavy on your heart you want us to pray with you and for you about. There may be maybe one here this morning that is ready to give their life to Christ and have their sins washed away. If there's something you need this morning, please come while we stand and sing. I know the Lord.